Hello and welcome to a new series we begin today on rightly dividing the word of truth. It is so important. It says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, unless we have right division, we have confusion, which is a lack of understanding. The dictionary says understanding is to perceive the intended meaning of something or of someone. Without right division, we have contradictions or opposing statements, such as the Bible says, it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But it also says, whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Without right division, we have contradictions. Without right division, we have compromise. Compromise is an agreement reached to make concessions. Now, the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Notice the word be. This is usually quoted, can two walk together except they agree? That's not what it says. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? In other words, somebody is going to have to change. And we've seen a lot of compromise in recent days in what we call fundamentalism. Without right division, we have confusion because of the contradictions. And God is not the author of confusion or a state of disorder. For example, in Matthew 10, Jesus said to his disciples, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. Then in John 4 we read, they went to the Samaritans, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all things whichever I did. And in verse 40 we read that he abode there for 2 days. Without right division, we have contradiction. Now, the basic rule of right division is, number one, we should not separate what God has joined. For instance, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit cannot be separated if you're going to properly understand the Word of God. You say, well, the Holy Spirit led me to do this. You better have chapter and verse, and you better have a total from the Word of God instructions that line up with the Holy Spirit. Because if you separate them, you can say whatever you want. Well, the Holy Spirit told me to do this. Holy Spirit told me to do that. Well, not unless you have chapter and verse. Second, do not join what God has separated. For instance, baptism and salvation are two different things. The age of the law and the local church age are two different things. The Jews, the Gentiles, and the Christians, God looks at three different groups of people in this world. A Jew is anybody who is a Jew. A Gentile is anybody who isn't. And a Christian is anybody who receives Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We should not join what God has separated if we're going to rightly divide the Word of God. Then in understanding the word gospel, now I've thought for a long time, there's four gospels. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, actually, the word gospel is in the scriptures over 100 times, and the word simply means good news. We have the gospel of the kingdom 4 times, the gospel of Christ 11 times, the gospel of the grace of God, we have the gospel of peace, we have the gospel of God, the gospel of the uncircumcision, which was given to Paul, and we have the gospel of circumcision, which was given to Peter, and the gospel of your salvation. We need to understand what the Bible's talking about when it talks about the gospel. The word simply means good news, but we need to know, are we talking about here the gospel of the circumcision, which was simply Peter preaching to the Jews, or the uncircumcision, which was Peter preaching to the Gentiles? We need to keep these things separate if we're going to understand the Word of God. When it comes to the second coming, the Bible says very plainly that he's coming for his own. But it also says he's coming with his own. Do we have a contradiction here? Not if we rightly divide the Word of God. When the Bible talks about judgments, it's talking about Christians being judged concerning sin and salvation, and Jesus took that judgment upon himself at the cross of Calvary. Then we have Christians judged concerning their works at the judgment seat of Christ. We have judgments concerning the Jews, judgment concerning the nation, a great white throne judgment concerning the unsaved. Then when we come to the subject of faith, the word faith in the New Testament, the word is a different word for trust and another word for what we believe. The word trust is only in the New Testament 5 times. So the word, it's all translated faith, but it means trust 5 times, and it means what we believe 240 times. We need to know the difference. Then when it comes to Christ, we're going to talk about the Lord. We're going to talk about Christ as a prophet. That was his past ministry. We're going to talk about Christ as a priest. That is his present ministry. He maketh intercession for us. And then we're going to talk about Christ as a king, which has to do with his future ministry. And then we need to understand the difference between time and eternity, the ages and the dispensations. We need to understand what is literal, what is figurative, and what is symbolic. For instance, figurative, Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. That's figurative. Symbolic, all kinds of that in the book of Revelation. But you'll find that it is explained somewhere, usually within the context of the chapter that you're looking at. And we'll look at some of that in another program. Most of the scripture is to be taken literal. If the plain sense of scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense or you'll be turning it all into nonsense. And so, is it literal? Is it figurative? Or is it symbolic? Then we need to understand the difference between the times and the seasons. The Bible talks about the times of ignorance, the times of the Gentiles, the times of refreshing, and the fullness of times. Now we're going to be looking in this series at understanding the New Testament timeline. This is very, very important to know the difference between the law and the church age, when one stopped and when the other one started. There is a transitional period between the Old Testament and the New Testament teachings here, and that's very important to look at that, and we will look at that as we go through this series. Now, questions that can only be answered if we have right division. Why did Jesus say not to go to Samaria, as we mentioned, and then go and preach there for several days? We see it in Matthew 10. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. The same timeline in John chapter 4, then cometh he to the city of Samaria. He abode there 2 days, and many more believed. Why? Why do we have this seeming contradiction? That can only be answered when we understand how to rightly divide the Word of God. Why at least 7 years, and most people who do in-depth studies of the Word of God will say it was 12 years, but it was at least 7 years after the day of Pentecost did Peter tell Cornelius it was unlawful for him to fellowship with the Gentiles. I thought that was all taken care of in the day of Pentecost. No, at least 7, maybe 12 years later, he said to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and 28, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man, that is a Jew, to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. Why, after all that time, was Peter saying this? Well, and why, when he got back to Jerusalem, were the apostles upset with Peter for fellowshipping with a Gentile? And again, at least 7 years after the day of Pentecost, we read about that in Acts chapter 11, when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them. Contend, that means they were upset. They didn't just ask him, they attacked. What are you doing? At least 7 years after Pentecost. Why did Jesus refuse to answer the question the disciples asked concerning whether or not he would restore the kingdom at that time in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know. Why? They expected the kingdom was going to happen. We're going to look at that as we go through Acts chapter 1 in our next session. Why did Peter say that women would prophesy in the last days? Should we have women preachers today? It says in Acts chapter 2, In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaids will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, including your daughters, including your handmaids. Are women supposed to be preaching today? For years and years, I asked a lot of people these questions, and nobody would answer them for me. Oh, they give me some kind of, don't worry about it. It'll all work out in the end. No, study to show yourself approved or be confused. Only right division will answer this question. Why did Peter command his listeners to be baptized for the remission of sins? He said, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And by the way, why was it in the name of Jesus Christ? We are plainly told they were to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but not here. Why? Only right division will answer that question. Why did Peter say if they were baptized, they would receive the Holy Ghost? He said it in Acts chapter 2, 37, 38. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I thought the gift of the Holy Ghost happened when I got saved. Why? Why did Peter say this? Only right division will answer that question. Were they eating meat at a communion service? I hear all the time, breaking the bread. Yeah, that's communion. Oh, and they eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. What has this got to do with communion? Why did Ananias and Sapphira die for lying when others lied and didn't die? Rebecca, Jacob, Abraham, Rahab, and Peter, they all lied. They didn't die. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost. He was dead. Later, his wife came in. She then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. Why? They lied and they died. In fact, Peter, who lied, he was the one who was the human instrument to make this all happen. How does that happen, and why does it happen? Here's another question that only right division will answer. Why did Paul give 14 qualifications for deacons in 1 Timothy, and Peter gave 3 for the men chosen in Acts chapter 6? Why were none of the qualifications in Peter's list included in Paul's list, and why were none of the qualifications included in Paul's list included in Peter's list? Why did Paul travel over 100 miles to Arabia after he was saved to receive instructions from the Lord? He was saved in Damascus. Couldn't he get instructions in Damascus? He traveled 100 miles. He didn't get in his new Honda van, turn up the air conditioner. He had to walk 100 miles. Why? Why? The answer to these questions can only be found as we rightly divide the Word of God. Now, just a quick look at this, and we'll look at it in much more detail in upcoming lessons. There's two distinct messages being preached, or that there's going to be serious contradictions in the Word of God. The kingdom message and the eternal life message. The kingdom message had to do with the kingdom for the Jews, which was to be preached only to the nation of Israel. The eternal life message, it was to be preached to whosoever will. The message of John and the message of Matthew, if you look at those two books. In the book of John, there's nothing about a kingdom for Israel. The book deals with Jews, it deals with Gentiles, but the message has to do with eternal life. John 20 says, These things are written, that believing ye might have life through his name. You look in the book of John, the focus is on eternal life, eternal life, eternal life. All the way through the book of John, it deals with the focus of eternal life. All the way through the book. eternal life. I am come that they might have life. Then when we look at the book of Matthew, the focus there is on the kingdom. All the way through the book of Matthew, you'll find the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. All the way through that book. It says in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 30, God has sworn with an oath that he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And so if we're going to understand this word of God, we have to understand, are we talking about the kingdom for the Jews? Are we talking about eternal life for everybody? There's two men preaching two messages in the book of Acts. We have in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 7, the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, and the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Very plain there. Paul the Apostle, he was given the gospel to the uncircumcision. The gospel of the circumcision, that was given to Peter. The gospel of the uncircumcision, that is Gentiles. The gospel for the circumcision with their gospel message concerning the kingdom, that was given to Peter. In either case, the word simply means good news. The good news of salvation was being preached to everyone. The good news concerning the kingdom message was for Jews only. There were thousands of Gentiles in Israel at that time. Gentiles are mentioned 91 times in the New Testament and 30 times in the book of Acts alone. When Jesus was presented in the temple, Simeon referred to him as a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. We should not make assumptions concerning the local church, and we'll look at that in more detail as we look into this series and lie ahead. The word church is only found in two verses in Matthew, and is not found in Mark, Luke, or John. However, that does not suggest that churches were not in existence at that time. 2 Peter, 1 and 2 John, and the book of Jude do not mention the church. However, it is obvious the local church age was underway when those books were written. When the Bible focuses on the kingdom that was promised for the nation of Israel, it is not diminishing the importance of God's plan of salvation for individuals, and neither is it suggesting that local churches were not underway. John chapter 4 tells us of many people who trusted Christ as their Savior in Samaria. It is not likely that these people were left on their own for years to fend for themselves with no assembly getting underway to direct them. That just does not make any sense whatsoever. Well, we're going to be looking at this in more detail, rightly dividing the word of truth. We'll be looking at it in our next session as we begin in Acts chapter 1. Be sure and be with us.